This week's Parsha, Parsha's Kisavo. So I'm going to start with the very, very beginning of the Parsha to analyze a few basic points on life. Again, it's Thursday, so it's a Thursday shmooze slot. We're talking a little late, so I'll try to be a little shorter. I'm going to try to use Bikurim, just to let you know what Bikurim are. It's when certain fruits, of the seven species, the special seven fruits which Eretz Yisrael is praised by, when they grow in Eretz Yisrael, they start to blossom, you tie a ribbon around the beginning of those fruits, tie a ribbon around it, And you're supposed to take that out of a basket, take a whole handful of them, we'll see how much there are, it really depends on how much you want to give. You give it to a Kohen, you bring it to the Kohen by the temple area. I want to use, even though it sounds like a discussion that's a little bit, not so deep, it's very, very deep. And there's a lot of lessons in life you learn out from this whole discussion of Bikurim. I want to highlight two or three of them and, kind of give ourselves a charge to work on them in the course of this coming year. I'll start with the Kli Yakar and Perek and Pasuk Gimel in this week's Parsha, the third Pasuk in the Parsha. So Kli Yakar brings down, he says the words Vanisa Vamarta. It says that you answer and you respond. You answer and you state. Now, this over here in the Bikurim is a whole discussion. You have to do what's called Vidui. You have to confess that you did everything properly. And you also do what's called that you do an Amira. You do a statement where you declare we have it in our Haggadah. It says, Adrami Ovid Avi, the whole discussion we have there. But here, B'Trayim, B'Ver Hashem, B'Sei Ma'at. We say the whole entire thing is part of our Bikurim process also. Vanisa B'Marta says when you start to say this whole Arami Ovid Avi, this whole thing of Lovan. So what does it mean Vanisa B'Marta? So it says the Kli Yakar the following Chiddush. When you do normally you do Vidui, when you confess something, usually you confess very quietly. You don't talk about it out loud. You know why? Why do you not say it? Why do I not sit there and tell everyone what I did? Why do you think I don't sit there and tell everyone what I've done wrong in my life? So besides being embarrassing, it sounds like I'm like taking pride. We don't have confessionals like that. You know, when we do Shmoneh Esrei, we hit our heart. We don't say it out loud. We do privately. When it comes to confessing your crimes between you and God, you keep that between you and God. You don't have confessionals like that. That's not what we do. However, when it comes to over here, we belt it out. Why are we belting it out? So here's the following idea that Kli Yakar brings down. We're belting out, not a crime, we're belting out a character flaw that we picked up from Lavan. A character flaw. Not only we pick it up, but even our great forefather Yaakov Avinu had a character flaw he picked up from Lavan, according to Kli Yakar. What was the character flaw? Character flaw was that he was chilled. So I heard Alex and Shmuel discussing about chilling with us today, Rebbe. Chilling meant in the Gemara, right? Meant in the Gemara. Not God forbid chilling, just hanging out in the Gemara. So Yaakov learned from Lavan what it meant to be chilled out, to relax, to calm down, and to just like do nothing. Like spend your time on vacation type of thing. We even see Yaakov Avinu himself. It says, Vayeshev. Yaakov says, Rashi, he wants to, Vayeshev. What does Vayeshev mean? He wants to sit and chill. He wanted to chill. He wanted to relax a little bit. That's what he wanted to do. And what does Hashem say back to him? What happens right after he wants to chill? What does Hashem do? He brings the Yosef story. He says, you can't chill in this world. You're a tzaddik. You read today, Doris Advice, you read in the introduction, a tzaddik doesn't chill in this world. A tzaddik's job is to work constantly. Fight, push, put in effort. Again, do you imagine all the greatest athletes, their off-season is just as hard as their regular season. Maybe they take a week, maybe, to chill, maybe. But they have rigorous schedules because they want to be the best. So says the Kli Yakar that we're sitting here, we're screaming out to the world, to ourselves, Jewish people, we don't want to be like Rami Ovid Avi. We don't want to be chilled out. That's not what we want with our lives. We don't want to sit here and just relax. Our lives is about making movements, making efforts, growing in certain ways. Imagine anything that you care a lot about that you just want to be like, I'll just chill out. I'll just be like I am all the time. If you care, you'd work to get better at it. So we want to state how we're looking forward to putting in effort. I remember one time, a number of years ago, my in-laws took me to a hotel for Sukkot, and we saw the Mashgiach's son. So my father-in-law goes up to the Mashgiach's son, and he says to him, Daniel, how are you doing your vacation? He looks at my father-in-law horrified. He's like, vacation? There's no vacation from Torah? Now the kid at the time was maybe 12 years old, maybe. But he wasn't being shticky. He didn't understand. What does it mean, vacation? What does it even mean? Like imagine you're married. You go on vacation, you're not vacation from your wife. She's your wife. Whether you're with her right now or not, whether you're not in your normal routine, you're married. You're always married. There's no vacation when it comes to us and God. There's no time we sit and we don't work, we don't try, we don't strive. It doesn't exist that way. So we belt it out in the beginning of Bikurim, Vanisva Marta Arami Ovid Avi. This Armenian, this person named Lavan tried to ruin us, and he even affected Yaakov a little bit. Vayeshev Yaakov. But we bring the Bikurim now. We remind ourselves about that, and we fight it. The The Or HaChaim HaKadosh brings down as well that it describes you go to the place that Hashem where I designated for you. So the Or HaChaim is a very, very deep commentary, and he says the following big chiddush. It's not literal, but it's more metaphorical. When we say you go to the place that Hashem designated, it's referring really to Olam Haba. If you're in Olam Haba, when you go at the end of days to the place you're supposed to go to, which is Olam Haba, he says you bring your choices of fruits. So the Or HaChaim, what do you mean choices of fruits? It means when you go to Shemayim, we mentioned this also today in the Torah Sabbath introduction. What do you bring with you at the end of the day? What do you bring with you when you go to Shemayim? At the end of 120 years, what do you bring with you? So, I'll tell you a quick story. I don't know if it's true or not, but I've heard it many times over, so I'll tell it to you anyways. There's a story, the Reichman family, which is definitely a real family. So there was one of the big donors to a community. He basically ran the community. So when he was dying, so he wrote a will. And in his will, after he passed away, they gave it to the Chevra Kedisha, who, by the way, he funded themselves. And he had many children who he was hoping to continue his legacy afterwards. He wrote a will to the Chevra Kedisha. He says, I know it's against the standard policy of the Chevra Kedisha, but I'm asking you, please, when you bury me in my socks. So Chevra Kedisha was like torn. One hand, this is the person who funds our entire community, and us included. What am I supposed to do over here? We don't want to go against his ruling, but at the same time, it's not whether you're like, not allowed to do that. When you bury with just your shroud, no other clothes. Back and forth, what you're supposed to do. The kids were like, this is my father. My father, you know, basically owns you guys. He says, bury him in your socks. Kaddish went back and forth. They decided in the end, it's against Jewish law. We're not burying him in his socks. And they bury him without his socks on, regular shrouds that everyone else wears, burial shrouds. The kids were livid. After Shiva, they got a letter from the father who had passed away earlier on. Had someone send a letter after Shiva was over. And they opened up and he said this following thing. He says, by now I assume that you've seen, you know, no longer here in the world, but you see that I was not able to be buried in my socks. I'm trying to teach you a lesson. No matter how much money you think you have, you can't even take your socks with you. Nothing. Nothing goes with you at the end. Or HaChaim says that when you go out of this world, you bring the finest of things. You bring your mitzvahs. You bring your Torah learning. You bring your quality of character. You don't bring your car. You don't bring your basketball ability. You don't bring your good looks. Those are all done as a finish. You bring only things that make it to the next round. The choices of your fruits of your labor. That's what Bikurim is testifying to us. We bring the best, the nicest, the choices. That's what we bring to Shemayim with us. And that's it. Part one. Part two. I want to focus a little bit on Dibor, on speech. Sefer Chinuch brings down that the Shorish, the Sefer Chinuch is a Sefer that discusses the mitzvahs found in the Parsha. He brings down, what's the whole idea of speaking of the whole Bikurim thing? Why are we talking about Bikurim? What's this whole speech that we give? So he says that you don't understand the significance of what comes out of your mouth. You don't understand how important it is. Whatever you say, you hear yourself saying, it has a tremendous effect upon you. And therefore he says, when we're about to right now, we're bringing our fruits, we need to inspire ourselves to remind ourselves about what's going on, about what we've done, how we've worked, how we're offering this to God right now. But it's important that you say it, you verbalize it, because when you verbalize something, when you say something with your mouth, the koach of that thing, when it hits your ears, is that much stronger. It makes a very big roshim on you. I actually want to, and it reminds you how you got here, the whole history of Lavan and Yaakov, and even talks about Mitzrayim and how we got here today. It's because when you say things with your mouth, the koach of your dibur is so crucial, has such an impact in your lives, you don't even know. But that's why God gives you as a mitzvah to speak things out when it comes to Bikurim. I saw today in a sefer called Leilin L'Shabech, a story. There was a man who came to Stipler and said to him, very frustrated, I daven, Hashem doesn't answer my tefillah. It's frustrating. He doesn't listen to my tefillah. I've heard many people in this room already this year describe to me how davening just doesn't do it for them. They probably feel the same way. Does it matter if I daven? Does it do anything at all? So this Rav Zilberstein, who wrote the sefer, told this man after he left the stipler, who said, no, just work harder, keep on working at it, the following story. There was a very high-ranking official from France who went to Russia between the World War I and World War II, surrounded by all of his, you know, his posse who goes with him, his entourage, his other advisors, his cook. And they went to Russia together, and while they were there meeting different dignitaries, so he went to someone's house, they had a big dish set for him. They gave him the first time in his life he had the food, kishka. And he, like, loved it. He loved kishka. And he went to his cook, and he said, before we leave, you must find the recipe for kishka. I want this when we get home back to France again. Sure enough, the cook goes there, writes in all the recipes, everything he has to do, and he goes back home, and then finally get back to France, and the first night he's back, he wants his favorite food. He wants kishka. So the guy follows the recipe to a T, and he brings this dignitary, his French dignitary, his kishka dish, the first time having it in France, and he takes one bite of it, and he starts to almost vomit. He gags on it. It's disgusting. And he doesn't understand. This is what you made. He's that promise. I followed every single thing. I don't understand. He goes, you go back right now to Russia. And you tell me, you figure out what you did wrong here. I want you to go back and make this for me properly. I should fire you right now. I should fire you. Guy runs back to Russia. He goes through everything. And everything is to the T. Everything is exactly as he's supposed to have it. And the cook says to him, so what did I miss? He goes, well, did you wash the kishka before you made it? He's like, it's not in the recipe list. You didn't tell me to do that. He's like, what, are you kidding me? I need to tell you. I need to tell you to wash the food of some intestines of an animal before cooking it. Like, that's a no-brainer. I don't need to tell you that. Says Rav Zilberstein, back to this man, you know why you feel like maybe it's not working? Is the thing that you're using to daven, is that clean? Do you care for your mouth? Are you watching what you say? Do you watch, curse words? How do you talk about other people, other genders? How do you insult your friend? Are you careful with your mouth? You want your mouth to have a koach of tefillah? Do you watch what comes out of your mouth? It's the most important thing. What separates man and beast is your mouth, is your talking. And yet, we have the koach to use it, but if you use it also without washing it first, without making sure that you're using it properly, you expect it to be effective. It'll never be effective that way. And therefore, we see from here the Sefer Chinuch's point is that the mouth has such a koach, and we actually are commanded, besides bringing the fruit, to talk about it, because we have to make sure that has an effect on us, an impact on us, but it only has an impact on you if it's a good mouth, if it's an appropriate mouth, if it's a holy mouth. Those of us who are weak in these areas, and I know certainly I was growing up, you have to make it your business to make sure that your mouth is one that is careful lashon hara, is careful for what we say about girls. It's careful about words that you wouldn't want your Rebbe or your parents to hear you talk about. You have to be on guard and watching your mouth. And I'll say one last point, and then we'll stop. It's the importance of Hakaras HaTov. The reason why we bring the first fruits to God is because we have to realize that I don't deserve this. What am I? God created me. He gifted me with a special treat. I don't deserve this. God gave it to me. So when I bring my first fruit, I'm saying to God, it's not Magili. Magili means I haven't earned the right to have this. You gifted it to me, and I want to thank you for giving it to me. I know for myself again, especially, I think most of us, when it comes to parent-child relationships, most of us look at our parents like they owe us. If you didn't give me the shirt that I wanted, the dinner that I wanted, my mom didn't make the dinner I wanted, you don't like this dinner. Like she owes you. She owes you the big dinner that you want. She owes it to you. Because you look at it as magili. I had it coming to me anyways. It's not magili. You don't have it coming to you. You're fortunate to have a mother who cares about you. That's why you got it. You have to have a Karas HaTov to realize this point. And to end off right now, in the final party words, Kierkegaard says, Rav Schwab on the Torah has a wild shot, and it's a very interesting question he asks. The Sifri brings down and says, you'll merit to get to Eretz Yisrael by the mitzvah of Bikurim. And he asks, Rav Schwab brings down and says, how could that be? How can you merit to get Eretz Yisrael by the mitzvah of Bikurim? You only get the mitzvah of Bikurim because you're in Eretz Yisrael. It's not a mitzvah that's outside. It's in Israel. So how come it's my merit to get there by doing it? I only can do it if I'm there already. So he said the following thing. He said, the fact that you're there does not mean that you're there. What does that mean? If I'm living in Israel, but I'm not living in Israel, B'Kedusha, I'm not living in Israel. I can live in Yerushalayim, and I can hang out in places that are not at all holy, I'm not living in Yerushalayim. It's nothing. Imagine you have the nicest of cars. The nicest of cars. And it's a stick shift car. You don't know how to get to past second gear. So you're driving, you're not driving that car. You're driving like a cheap car. You can't get past 40 miles an hour. You're not driving that car. But I'm driving it. Yeah, but you're not driving it. It's not the car. You're just driving your car. It looks like that car. It's not the car. Driving the car, you have the convertible. You have the top down. Driving your hair blowing. But that's what the car is. You're just driving a regular car. That's not what you're driving. He says that in life, Rashab says the same thing. You have the opportunity right now. You're in a body. You're not living life right now. You're living the life of mostly of an animal. Eat and you drink and you sleep and you do whatever you do, but when do you get to live the life of a Jew? When do you get to learn what it means? People are going to talk to you about things this year, and they want for you to be the happiest guy in the world. They want you to learn what it means to live as a Jew, where your life is more than just being a piece of flesh and blood, where you matter because you connect with God. That's the greatest way of living. You're not living yet. You came to Israel to learn what it means to be living. What do you mean? You've been living for 18 years already. You're not living 18 years. You've been here for 18 years. But you want to know what it means to be alive? You know what it means to be connected? So then you have to do and act in a way where you fulfill every last part of that life. I wish you a bracha, following Rav Schwab's lead. The same way that we say the mitzvah of Bikurim gets you to be here, gets you to be filled with the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. The bracha I give you is that you should be continued to hopefully to grow and to feel the future of Eretz Yisrael and to realize for the first time in life what it means to really be here. Have a good Shabbos.